For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little disappointed today. Not because of Raptors fans, but we know that losing Game 5 was a really tough one. That was tough. Losing by 1 point didn't help, that's for sure. Clearly, the Raptors didn't play well enough to win, but somehow could have won. Back with me, Jake Middleton, and fresh off his ESPN Showtime spotlight is Austin Owens.
Hey there.
Who has had a very brutal schedule this week, but it's the NBA Finals, and who cares? Ooh.
Yeah, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, and I just got up from a nap, so. Good night, good evening. I don't even know what time it is, so how's it going, guys?
We're doing right. Jake, how are you feeling, bud?
All right, pretty pissed off late last night, but it's all right. They're still up 3-2, but yeah, I don't know. So it's you just kind of get a little flashbacks, but hopefully that doesn't happen.
See, yeah, it's disappointing. Yeah, they're still up 3-2, but you also the other way you think about it, for Golden State, you win one game, it's a game 7 now. I know that. It is a toss-up. There are a couple things in that game that really, really kind of irked me. Obviously, one that basically what has made the Warriors successful all postseason, and they've been unable to do in this series, which is beat the living daylights out of the Raptors from three. They did it. Curry and Thompson, my God. It was almost like every time they got the ball, you're just like, why aren't they being covered? Those are like,
I mean, they took 33s, right?
Oh yeah,
they took more. They might have taken like 35.
They were, yeah. The only people that were hitting though consistently were Steph and Clay. Yeah. So,
but what does that tell you though? It just means, and there was times where like Clay was wide open. I'm just like,
yeah.
The lack of awareness to like. Remember in game
two, I mean, you just have to cut off the 3-point line. That's basically how you beat those. Let them drive, let them get twos.
And then just watching that game, I mean, they're two of the best shooters of all time, but they're also two of the best players at coming off picks and getting open.
12 for 27 they were combined from 3.
Yeah. 12 threes for Steph and Clay is just not going to cut it for a defensive effort.
Meanwhile, on the other side, the Raptors, Kyle Lowry, Siakam, and Danny Green were 1 for 14. So you'd think law of averages, they make fucking one of those threes, they win.
Did a couple things, they would win.
The part that really annoys me, though, is like every time Siakam was open in the corner.
They're leaving him open. You know what he is on corner threes this series? I believe he's 0 for 14.
Something like that. He has those hot and cold stretches, mostly cold, in my opinion, from what I've seen. But if you have, and it's not just he's open. He's open with, like, how much room between him and the basket that, why aren't you driving it? Like, you have the time. Make them realize that you're going to actually take the ball to the basket rather than, like, when Siakam went off in game one, it wasn't because of his 3-point shooting. It was because he was attacking the basket and they had no response. So what did Golden State do? Okay, you're gonna have to beat us from the three-point line. And Siakam can't do that. He's not. He hasn't developed that part of his game enough to do it on a consistent basis.
No, the one thing they did well was it game three in Golden State is they were just crushing every shot. They were hitting everything. And it didn't, when it doesn't fall for the Raptors, it's not good. Danny had, that was a hard game to watch from Danny. He airballed a three pretty brutally in that game too. He went over the rim.
Pretty sure that was like late in the game too.
Yeah, I think it was, or maybe mid fourth quarter. It was bad. Lowry, I mean, Van Vliet was hitting. I don't know. That's just.
It's deflating, definitely deflating. And I think the thing with Lowry, the positive I'll take from his game is that when he wasn't hitting the three, he was going to the net. He was, you know, he'll do that step back shot, jump shot, which was like money for him.
It worked twice in this game. He did it a couple times.
So I that part I appreciate. The other guys on the team need to take that lead. I mean, when Kawhi, this is probably the worst game we've seen Kawhi play, and probably not going to see that again. Let's be real here. He's not going to turn the ball over five or six times ever, like in the series.
Yeah. He looked like he was forcing it. We were talking about it during the game in our chat. He was, I don't want to say he was playing hero ball because that's obviously not what he was doing, but the Warriors were playing him a certain way, and he got caught just trying to do a little too much with the ball. And if he played the entire game like he played that fourth quarter, I think the Raptors are planning their parade literally right now.
So, Jake, what annoyed you the most out of this game?
During the game or after?
During the game. Let's talk about during the game first.
During the game, probably the fact that they just didn't cut off the three-point line, like, at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they allowed four... Golden State, half of their shots were threes. Mm-hmm. It's like the Raptors were playing the Rockets. Yep. I mean, I also didn't like that Nurse didn't call a timeout in the final play.
And that he did call a timeout at the 3:20 mark.
That's that was kind of strange. But then again, apparently it was Kawhi who wanted the timeout because he was gassed.
Oh, well, then he gets that. Also,
Kawhi, he was horrible pretty much outside of the fourth quarter. Like 9 for 24, 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
That stretch was
just downright dominant, though.
But the thing that annoys me the most is just how that was such a blown opportunity. Golden State played almost perfectly. Like, holy shit, by the way. I mean, I feel really bad for Kevin Durant, and that's awful. I wish he only had, like, a knee sprain where he was out 2 weeks, but oh my God, if he was fully healthy... Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, this guy's probably got no legs. Oh, no, 3 for 3.
He had, in how he was playing in the first half, I mean, at that point, it's one of those things where you're just kind of like, yeah, I can see the Warriors coming back and winning in 7.
Yeah.
Like, KD's like, playing the way he was.
Holy shit.
He just walked up, walked around. It was either a screen or just beat his defender on a dribble and then pulled up just inside the three-point line with, like, two guys on him, and it was pure. I was just like...
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. Like, obviously, at this point, for a team like the Raptors, who have never won a thing, you'll take anything you can get, but, I mean, I'm a Kevin Durant fan. He's probably my favorite player to watch, and the fact that he's probably going to miss an entire season sucks. I mean, you just feel so bad for that guy because... Frankly, it wasn't his fault. I mean, somebody should have taken the decision out of his hands. Like, everybody's going to do that. The thing that annoys me the most is how people on freaking Twitter basically said, oh, yeah, that's an Achilles injury the whole time. Nope, it's a calf. It's a calf. It's a calf. And then it's a fucking Achilles injury. And watching the video of just, his Achilles popping was brutal.
That's horrific.
It hurt my legs watching it.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, fuck.
Before we get into the KD thing, there was one more thing I wanted to bring up. I went out last night to a bar, watching with a group, literally random group. Like, there was three of us, and we joined another person's table. And the seeing the people get all giddy when it was a 6-point lead with about 3 minutes left, I'm thinking to myself, okay, like a 6-point lead, you can defend that, but I'm like, it's still the Warriors. With the way they've been shooting from three, we know that it can disappear very quickly. And then I listened to the radio on the way home. I was listening to the 590, and I believe it was George Rusick. He was losing his mind that the Raptors had blown a 6-point lead. And I'm like, George, this is basketball. 6-point leads are nothing.
That's two possessions.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when the Warriors fans left after game four. It was like a 9-point game with 2 minutes left. It's like, your team's one stop away. They're so good at shooting threes and quick with shooting threes. Like, they'll just set a screen up high and Steph will pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Like, you could have a couple of threes in under a minute.
That's the part looking at that final play, the Lowry shot, I was watching a couple different angles. How wide open was Marc Gasol under the basket? I don't know if you guys saw that. Like,
I don't remember it, but I know they definitely put two guys on Kawhi, mm-hmm. and they also doubled Fred. So I was just looking around, like, who is wide open here?
It was Danny, Kyle, Marc Gasol had Cousins under the rim, and Fred had the ball. And at one point, he looks at Gasol. And if he had passed it to Gasol, Gasol would have had literally the easiest basket of his life. Maybe if Cousins came behind him, and it might have actually been a foul. Because if you're Cousins, you're going to foul the guy.
Didn't he get called a foul? Didn't the 2-minute report a foul should have been called and he should have been on
the line? That foul call was...
That's also annoying.
Yeah, that would have been two shots for him. And then that didn't get called, and that immediately led to Thompson's three that started that 9-0 run.
The other thing, too, about that last 2-minute report, I know there's been a lot of talk about how the NHL officiating has been really bad, how the league should be doing these sort of reports. If I'm a fan of a game, the last thing I want to know is how the refs screwed up at the end. Why do I want to know that?
It just serves to infuriate fans, and that's it.
It should be for the teams, and that's it. All right, we did a report. This is what we missed, and then that's it. What do you get out of telling the fans, oh, we messed up? I understand they're trying to seem like
trying to be transparent.
Yeah, but guess what? The transparency goes out the window, and you can't do anything about it. So, I'm not disappointed with that. Like, you miss a foul call, it happens. Refs are human. It wasn't an egregious. I didn't even know he got fouled. Let's be real
here. I didn't notice it either.
So, it was more of the Raptors pissed away a really good opportunity. But now, it's the part that annoys me more so, and probably you guys, is the story that's come out of this game, which is not that, game six is going to be a really good game. It's that, Raptors fans are pieces of garbage. And this whole Kevin Durant situation, look, I give the president, the GM, Bob Myers, is his name?
Yep.
GM, Bob Myers.
Yeah. He's the chief guy. He's a messiah to them. He comes out and he says what you expect your president to say, which is, we messed up. I mean, he pretty much took the blame out of Durant's hand because, you know.
Oh, he took the bullet. They put him up on the stand. He jumped
on the grenade.
Yeah, exactly.
That was hard to watch. And really, I sent you guys a video of people in the bar that were chanting. Well, not chanting, but cheering when KD was down. And I've spent the whole day listening to takes, thinking about this myself, and trying to really think about, okay, is this being blown up too much? Probably. I think, you know, this wasn't a whole arena chanting, you know, for a guy that got injured. I think in the moment, and Jake, you mentioned this too, was that in the moment, Ibaka gets the turnover. He gets the foul. A pretty important part of the game, too, because the Warriors were coming on. And then, I mean, obviously, people also forget about the, you know, the part where the Raptors fans all gave Durant a standing ovation and started chanting his name. And you also give Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Danny Green credit for realizing the situation and trying to get the crowd in order. Those that were acting like morons, like it's you're a moron if you're chanting because cheering for a guy that's being that's
injured. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. When you saw him get injured, I was instantly like, oh, okay. I mean, that's like a good thing for the Raptors. I mean, we're not a team with history. Like, this is the first finals I've ever been to. I'm not like, I'll take all the breaks we can get. Exactly. But then 5 seconds later, you're like, oh, fuck, man. That sucks. That's like, that's one of the best players in the world who's going into free agency and is about to make probably $200 million. And it sucks. I mean, we're all humans. Anybody that says, no, as soon as that happened in the heat of battle, I said no cheering, never. Like, you're fucking lying. Like, you got New Yorkers who will sucker punch Boston fans sucker punching their own fans, Philly fans throw batteries at fucking things. Warriors fans were celebrating when Zaza injured Kawhi and when Kyrie got injured in the finals. Like, it fucking happens. If you're a person a full minute later, like, waving goodbye to him and, like, fucking clapping, you're a fucking prick.
Yeah.
But that's not the entire fan base. No. Like, that's a joke. Like, it's a joke that everybody's like, oh, the entire country should be ashamed of themselves. It's like, fuck out of here.
No, I hate this whole, and it's become a social movement of, A, everyone kind of falls in line of, oh, these Raptors fans did it. Everyone is associated with that. No,
yeah,
those are idiots. I want to bring up the Del Curry situation we were talking about, where fans at the hotel were basically yelling "F you," they were just being real assholes.
There's also a Raptors fans jumped a Warriors fan after the game yesterday.
Yeah, that's straight bullshit.
That's bullshit.
Like, it's the lowest. How do I put this without sounding like? It's just the people that are casual fans, and it's not the diehards.
That's the sad part. I guarantee it's not the diehards.
It's the people that, quite frankly, are the bandwagoners that show up at this time every year and only cheer for the team, don't watch any games in the regular season, barely know any of the players, and are in the playoffs, that are burning things down in the streets.
And not only that, it's the people who don't know what the moment means, really.
No.
They get a little too self-involved. I'm here celebrating. And they get too self-involved in the moment. And I think that played a factor, too. I just hate, we want to bring up the reputation now that, it really got worse when DeMarcus Cousins and Klay Thompson Draymond Green. I think Klay Thompson also said something too about the crowd, but it's just like, guys, didn't you also see that the crowd stood up and gave the guy an ovation when he was leaving the court?
Yeah, it's fine. It's just, it's like you said, moment. It's just this thing in sports where it's the, some fan base does something as, oh, stay classy. Fuck off, because your fan base is perfect.
So,
Warriors fans were disproven to be the classiest organization in the world less than an hour after this thing broke, when the footage of them cheering for Kawhi's injury back in, what, 2016?
2017,
cheering for his injury when Zaza undercut him.
Yeah, and this also I wanted to bring up, and Jake, you had a good take on this too, was the U.S. Women's World Cup. Like, they destroyed Thailand, 13-0.
You knew it from the second it was going to be played.
Yeah. Don Cherry has been a big advocate on how you celebrate in blowouts, and should you run up this? I have no problem with any team.
He's a massive act, like, you've been there before, guy.
Yeah.
Okay, running up the score, I don't have a problem with because goal differential is a thing, especially in international tournaments, whether it be hockey or baseball or soccer. Mm-hmm. Like, score 13, go ahead. It's actually an important thing in soccer. But, like, fucking the spinorama, like, slide into your bench and kick at 11-0, like, come the fuck on. Mm-hmm. And people are just like, oh, it's her first game. She's doing it on a world stage. It's like Megan Rapinoe just won the World Cup last time, has like 100 caps. Like, what are you talking about? And then celebrating 5 goals. Like, what is it, an accomplishment? Great, you scored against probably a team that has like $50,000 as a budget for their entire team and their federation. Like, come on.
I just hated the takes of, oh, these women, and by the way, one men. Like, they made it the point to say, these women worked so hard to get to this moment. It's like, you didn't get to this moment so you can showboat and make it about yourself. You did it so you can represent your country, and it's because this is the game you love to play. You don't do it to showboat and make it about yourself. That's the part that pisses me off, is that we're making this about one individual thing and not looking at the grand scheme of it. And so that's what I didn't appreciate about that. I just didn't appreciate how I liked the takes that some of the US media had in regards of, they understood that what Raptors fans' emotions were like in the moment and how they, you know, they kind of tried to make up for it. Also, I don't know if you guys saw the picture of a fan who sent Katie flowers and an apology. Like,
I didn't see that.
There's a picture. It came from, I guess, the Warriors, office or something like that. And it was literally flowers sent to like Katie saying, we're sorry and all that. Like, I don't know many fan bases that are going to be sending. Like, do you expect, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, do I expect Philadelphia Eagles fans to send flowers after they were cheering for Michael Irvin when he got
his spinal cord injury? No, the thing is, like, some people will do that,
yep.
And some people are assholes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Some people are very nice and classy, some people are not. It's not, like, there's no fan base that's perfect.
No,
fan base is like, oh, we have all saints. If you think that, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I do
that's
not.
Just,
that's just, the issue.
Yeah. No, it's really stupid. But
painting an entire country or like an entire fan base because of what, 8 assholes? Like, what? That's like saying, oh, all Muslim people are terrorists because there's 10 terrorists that are Muslim. Like, that's a joke.
This is the part that bothers me the most. Are the people who are saying that's trash? Those people should be ashamed. I'm like, do you really understand what would it have been like in this situation? If you were in that situation, if it was a team you were cheering for, would you not have the same reaction?
Let's flip it. What if Kawhi was injured in Oracle?
Yeah.
The guy
probably
that's
been, be pretty happy. Down
the guy that's been
the
torching every single
happy.
Team that the Raptors have played this year.
This is a good take I'll have on it. In hockey, a guy gets a good hit on the boards, then you realize, shit, this guy's down. Oh, the stretcher's coming up. In the moment, you cheer for the hit because it's a good hit. But then when you see the guy getting stretchered off the ice, what's your immediate response? Oh, this is bad. And then they start chanting for the guy, and then he gets a salute from the crowd. Like, you're allowed, no offense, you are allowed to have an opinion in the moment and then realize, oh, I made a mistake. Let me rectify that. I hate this idea that, oh, no, you cheered. There's no going back. What? I didn't, shoot a guy. Like, that's the part I don't like, is that we put these people down. If those same fans that cheered for Katie when he got hurt in the first place then realize, oh, I made a mistake, let me give this guy some love because he came out and all that. Why should those people not be given the benefit of the doubt?
Mm-hmm.
That's the part I don't like.
It's just, I don't know. We're not going to defend anything.
No, we're not the defending the action. We're just defending the reaction to it.
Yeah, I don't like the people that stand on their soapbox and cry murder because this thing happened, like it's some alienated incident that every fan base, other fan base other than ours, doesn't go through.
Let's all,
like,
yeah,
it's
an unfortunate part of sports because, yeah, in the moment, honestly, everyone's like, well, KD's injured. The Raptors definitely have a better chance of winning. That's just the cynical part of us that does that. Yeah. The Raptors have a better chance of winning with 35 not on the floor. But then it becomes a personal thing. It's like Jake said earlier, is one of the best players on earth. He's a top five player in the league without a doubt. And you're probably not going to see him for at least another year. And he was
KD is one. I think there's no better player than Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I'm saying top five just
to cover his base. Even top three could go get away with that.
Top two.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's top three at worst.
Yes.
So
on his worst day, he's a top three player in the league.
There's two things here I want to bring up as well. One, Skip Bayless had almost the exact same take as you, Austin, is that
Raptors. Well, that's the same take Max Kellerman had as well, and he caught a bit of flack for it on the broadcast and just in general.
But like Max understood what the moment, like Raptors fans know, KD not being in gives them the best chance to win. They know that. And
I think the most controversial thing Max said, and it was along the lines of Raptors fans, it was a sort of endearing to Kevin Durant that the Raptors fans were cheering for him to be injured because that's how much he's feared in the league. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was his take, is they were cheering because they knew that KD was just torching them. And there's a better chance of their team bringing home a championship without Kevin Durant out there. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
Steph Curry and Klay have not won. I mean, they won the game yesterday. That was probably the first. I mean, game two was just, anyway, you get into specifics, but KD would have probably taken them to seven for sure, I would think.
I would think so.
And maybe won the whole series if they had KD healthy.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I have no doubt in my mind this would have gone seven if KD was healthy. Now, I can see the Raptors winning in Oracle. Can you?
Yeah, me too.
They've already done it twice.
It's a different.
You just look at everything that happened, and it just, so many things went correctly for Golden State. But again, I don't know. I'm not going to use that cliche, never doubt the heart of a champion, like Stephen A. loves to say.
All that stuff is just TV magic. Is like heart of the champion or who wanted it more, or will to win, or
the wanted it more is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It comes down to execution and game planning. It's not who wanted it more. Both teams want it. Otherwise, they wouldn't get off.
As the ESPN segment, it's a make or miss league that they love.
Yeah, Max used that yesterday.
Yeah, the Raptors. As Max, I said, Danny Green, Kyle, and Pascal were 1 for 14 from three. There is a 0% chance they shoot like 8% from three combined again.
Yeah. Now, go ahead, Austin.
I was just going to say, Max had to go on the broadcast yesterday, and you remember the thing he said about Andre Iguodala? If he had a gun to his head.
Yeah, that's a retard.
That he'd take Andre Iguodala to take the game-winning shot over Steph. Yeah, he had to go on and sort of eat crow about that yesterday.
That was very stupid, so.
Yeah, that was a take.
That was a terrible one.
Anyway.
Can we also.
For Max, he goes on and he, I don't think he agrees with some of the stuff he has to say, but
That's like Skip.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to agree with all the takes.
He dies with his takes.
Yeah. It's entertainment, and I'm assuming, I don't know how First Take really does it, because I don't really ask that many questions, but you definitely, one guy picks one side, one guy picks the other, and you're not going to be right half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Max just has to wear it on social media, unfortunately, but maybe he believes some of the stuff. I've never got
to
the brain.
Yeah, I think there's some belief. Like, he's not going to be totally talked into saying something he has absolutely no belief in, but there's probably some convincing that has to be done. And also, let's be real here. It makes for better TV when there's debates like that, because if two guys have the same exact take, it's like
just agree all the time.
Oh my god! I told you about the thing with Jay Williams the other day when he was on before the game yesterday.
Mm.
And he said, Max said Giannis is a better player than KD, and just triggered Stephen A. and Jay Williams.
Oh, yeah.
They were both just yelling at him in unison on the broadcast.
That was quite stupid.
That was probably some of the best TV I've seen since I was doing this little thing at the finals. That was hilarious.
There's a reason why there's just so many of those. Like, Canada does not have any shows like that, and there's a reason.
There's a reason why First Take and Undisputed Undisputed?
Undisputed is Skip's show, yeah. But
Skip. That's why they're so popular, is because they say polarizing things that get people talking. Well, but at the end of the day, you tune in to watch because of the things they're saying.
Well, Skip, we'll say he's got good ratings, but I don't know about that. I think Jake would know more about that.
Don't even tell me that, man. He's in the NBA Finals where there's only two teams, and the best player on one team, he can't even pronounce the name of because he's so buttered over it.
let's also talk about the fact that Kevin Durant probably, I don't know what to really make of this, in that I don't know how much outside influence went into this decision to have him play, but let's also be real here that this whole thing could have been avoided if somebody came to their senses and was like, Kevin, you've won a title.
Yeah.
Really think
two.
About
you've two. Won, sorry, titles, you've won two titles, two finals MVPs.
You've won two titles, two finals MVPs. Nobody is doubting your status as a top player in this league. Why would you take the risk? It's not like he's been practicing for a couple of days, you know, and he was like right there, and the guy hadn't had what, one practice, barely a practice.
He'd been shooting behind the scenes, but it hadn't really been talked about.
Like,
because it's all closed practice for the final, but he's been shooting and doing warm-ups, not in like informal practice, for about 2 weeks.
This is where the take, I think Donovan Bennett had this take on Sportsnet this morning on the radio. Kawhi had his uncle basically tell the Spurs, you don't have Kawhi's best interests at hand. He is not playing.
Yep.
And somebody need to do that with Durant and saying, Kevin, whether it's a calf or an Achilles, which are pretty close to each other. I mean, I'm not a doctor or an expert, but I know those muscles are pretty close to each other.
Yep.
This is an injury that, if you have it, now that we're talking about it, can take you out for a season. That's a lot of money. That's another year of, it's not like he's a young guy either. What is he, 30?
He's about to turn 30.
He's about
he
to
is
turn 30.
30.
He's going to be... Hold on.
I'm pretty sure he's 30 right now, yeah.
Which is just crazy.
He is not getting any younger. It does not get easier. It's not like he is the most fit athlete on the... He's not like a Kawhi where you look at him, he's like, this guy's a monster. Kevin Durant...
So, KD's going to be 31 before the start of next season.
Yeah.
So by the time he gets back, he's going to be
32,
going on 33 by the end of the year. I mean, that's tough.
You just really hope. I think the plan should be for him to opt in with his deal with the Warriors and rehab for the year. At the same time, can you trust the organization now?
But I mean, if you're Golden State, you would kind of hope he opts out.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to pay that.
I mean, I don't know how it works with, like, long-term injury in basketball. Maybe you get the cap space like you do in the NHL. I'm not really sure, but I'd kind of want to have that money so I can spend on another player or a bench or whatever.
So they can go and get Kyrie in free agency.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm actually looking this up right now because I don't even know that. Okay, so disabled player exception, there is one, allows a team that is over the cap to acquire a replacement for a disabled player who will be out for the remainder of the season for in-season injuries or the next season if the disability occurs in the offseason. Oh, that's a little different.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think that it's the same as the NHL.
I think If I mean, this is why the whole short-term deals thing is a real tough thing for these NBA players.
It just gives them so much leverage, but also if you're injured, it's bad.
Yeah, and now KD is like, okay, he has an opt-in. He also need. I mean, I think the Warriors would be on hook for his rehab regardless. I think that's the kind of the, how it works, unless he goes to another team and they're like, okay, we'll deal with the injury. But if you're a team like, let's say the Knicks, who are like the one rumor spot, do you want to take that on?
The Knicks, man. I saw a quote that was, I saw a tweet that was so accurate. KD could lose three fingers and the Knicks would max him out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I would give him the max. If I'm the Knicks, if he says I want to go there, go ahead. I'll give it to you.
And you just
take a year and just, man, get another good draft pick?
Exactly. If you watched the Knicks last season, you'd fucking sign. You'd sign a guy if he had to get his leg replaced.
Yeah,
I just don't see a team like LA now. Like they're more in win now mode. Like the Knicks can afford to wait for
to wait. Yeah,
I mean their fans may not want it, but
it's not. No, I think Knicks fans are kind of like Leafs fans were. They're just like, all right, if we're finally gonna actually do this, let's do it.
Yeah,
because they've seen shit enough. Like, if you notice they I don't know if you saw it, that the Knicks management is, if KD isn't coming, they don't want to spend all these futures to get Anthony Davis, because they think it would be just like the Carmelo Anthony trade.
Yeah,
and I think that's so smart.
It's probably the most smart thing the Knicks will do.
Because it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, no, it is exactly... It's almost like when the Spurs really were in a tough corner with Kawhi. It was like, you know, he's not playing. We can't move him because the value would have been too low at the time. Like, no team's going to pick up Kawhi if he had no interest in playing last year. And then, I mean, the Raptors lucked out that, you know, they were able to get him in the offseason. But this will be a little different for Durant because you know what the injury is. You know, it's going to take him at least a year to recoup. That's generally where Achilles injuries go. So, it's a really unfortunate thing. And I think now, hopefully, other NBA teams learned a lesson. We hope so, but, I mean, there's some teams that keep trying to roll them out. I think it's also because some NBA players get the bad rap of being soft, and they don't want that rap, and I think that was part of what KD's motivation was to play. It's just to play.
I mean, anybody that has that is hockey fans, the like my sport guys.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that so much. When they're like, Zdeno Chara puck in the face, plays, Kevin Durant pulls his calf out for a year. It's like,
oh, they did that with Van Vliet the other night. It was Corey Hirsch was saying that on...
It's just so fucking stupid.
Twitter. It's like, yeah, Fred Van Vliet's bleeding. He's leaving. Zdeno Chara, broken jaw. It's like, okay. He just took elbow to the face.
No offense.
Who cares? Like, if I took a fucking puck to the face and I had my jaw wired shut, I probably wouldn't be playing.
And it's
That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you saw, what's his name? Perron just punched him in the face. I would do the same thing.
Exactly. You want to play with a broken jaw? I'm not going to let up.
Yeah, exactly. You're playing with it, so be it. It's your fault.
And also, in hockey, you can put a cage in front of it to kind of minimize what the damage could be like. Basketball, you can't hide from that. You can't. You can wear the weird-ass mask if you have a facial thing. Other than that, you can't hide from injuries. You don't have padding.
It's just a dumb argument. It's completely different sports.
And some people saying it's not a sport. I've heard those takes. It's just like, look, these guys can do things that I can't do.
There's also a reason why the NBA is fucking, what, makes twice as much money? because they actually have players who say things instead of "I'll break my leg for the team, anything for the team."
Oh my god!
Maybe say something. Maybe say something other than pucks in deep.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep bringing it back to First Take, but PK Subban was on the other day, and he is by far the most exciting player in the NHL.
Yeah.
That guy can talk.
And look what happens. The Montreal could not handle that.
Which is pathetic.
It's pathetic. It just means, and we had this talk about how you shouldn't be above the team and all that stuff. PK was not like that. It's not like PK was just like rogue.
No, but he was more. What's the word I'm looking for? He wasn't a complete joke and monotone and stereotypical hockey player. So he was a hindrance and a cancer in the locker room because he actually showed some emotion. And that's what makes the NBA and the NFL as well. I mean, just better.
And that's why MLB is garbage.
Right. You know, yeah, exactly. That's why baseball and hockey are the bottom two sports of the big four. Because there's just more entertainment value in basketball and in football. Because people aren't afraid to speak their minds. People aren't afraid to say things that may be unpopular and create some rivalries. And it's just better TV. Like, I like hockey, but there's no doubt that basketball is the more entertaining spectacle.
And that's part of the sport now. It's not just about the product on the ice or on the court. It's off the ice and off the court too. And that's what attracts the broadcast companies to put in money, the sponsors, the fans, that's just the way it goes. Kind of the last thing I want to go over here is Game 6. We know how the last two games in Oracle Arena went. Pretty successful, especially Game 4, where they looked absolutely terrible in the first half. And the second half, as Fred VanVleet said, Kawhi made two FU shots, and and the game was pretty much in the Raptors' hands at that point. What do the Raptors need to do going into Game 6 to avoid what happened in Game 5?
I mean, you gotta make shots. It's a simple thing to say, but it's a make or miss league. It's exactly right. The Warriors made more shots than the Raptors. I think, was it Steph and Clay were involved in 77 of the Warriors' points?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Durant, Clay, and Steph were 15 for 30 from three.
Yeah, they torched you. Also, yeah, defend the three-point line. But I'm assuming James...
No, just defend the three-point line. That's it.
I mean, a lot of the things in Game 5 could have been avoided if they just pushed them in or chased them off the line and made them take layups. Steph and Clay are a little bit better than that, so they got their shot still. But, I mean, the Raptors aren't just leaving them wide open. It's not like, Game 4? Where the Raptors, it was the bad first half where the Raptors couldn't hit anything.
Yeah.
And they were getting wide open looks. No, the Clay three-pointer that he pump-faked and got Kawhi in the air, it was a great move. But Steph hit a shot right in Van Vliet's face. And then, they're not getting wide open looks for the most part. The Raptors are making them work for it. They're just two of the greatest shooters of all time. So... Make your shots. You're not going to go three-pointer for three-pointer with the Warriors. So take your points where you can get them. And you got to be more aggressive inside as well. Because Draymond's starting to – his texts are starting to add up now.
Yeah. One more and he's suspended.
Yeah. And that's big. If you lose this game and you get Draymond on a tech, I mean, he's going to be a little smarter about it now that he knows he's right on the edge.
We always say that.
Let's just not lose the game.
Yeah. Exactly. The best way to not worry about a Draymond suspension for Game 7 is just win Game 6.
Yeah.
Take your chip.
Exactly. Jake, what do they need to do to win Game 6?
Make threes. That's it. Make your threes. I mean, Golden State shot, almost 50%? 20 for 42, 47%. Raptors were 8 for 32, 25%. I mean, I said it before. I'll say it again. If Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, and Danny Green go 1 for 14 from 3, actually, let's add Kawhi in there. if they go 3-for-21 from three, they're probably not going to win the game. The fact that it was a one-point game and they had a six-point lead with 2:50 left, just and they were two for those guys were 3-for-21. That's like what? That's like 12%. I mean, even if those guys make two more threes,
it's a different story.
That's it. You just get it's threes. Nowadays, it's all about threes. You gotta just you don't have to beat Golden State because they're the best 3-point shooting team ever, but you sure as hell got to be able to compete with it. You can't have a 25% difference between like the percentage that they've made.
Yeah.
That just can't happen.
And I say take your points where you can get them, but obviously it's not the old NBA where you can just pound it inside and get all your points. So the Raptors, yeah, they got to convert.
Also, it'd be nice if Kawhi could get a couple calls. That would be nice. He was getting hammered.
He was getting hammered. I follow – this was at the very beginning of the series, probably game one. I follow a reporter for the 49ers, and he's a Bay Area guy, so he's a Warriors fan. And he said something like, I don't know that there's a player, a star in this league that doesn't get more – less calls than Steph Curry. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Have you watched Kawhi Leonard?
It's because he just doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't complain.
Yeah.
He doesn't complain enough. That is literally
how he shuts his mouth. It's not how he's wired. It's just the way he is, though.
I don't want to keep bringing it back to DeMar DeRozan, but some of the calls that Kawhi isn't getting, could you imagine if DeMar had those? He'd be teed.
Yeah. He got in trouble with that against Cleveland last year.
Yep.
So I definitely agree that the shooting is going to be a big thing for them. I also think Kawhi is going to have a better game. Like, he is not going to have six turnovers like he did in Game 5. I'm more confident.
He looked pretty flustered. I don't know. I can't see him having back-to-back stinkers.
You can't.
No.
Especially after what he did in Oracle last in Game 4. I think he'll understand that moment.
What he did in the fourth quarter with a couple of those big buckets.
God, he was just the fact that he could turn it on like that after the first three quarters he had.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he was just unbeatable.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of things to look out for there. I kind of just want the series. I want them to close this out. I
can't deal with a game 7.
I'm gonna sit in a quiet room and watch game 7. I can't even. Some guys were like, if it goes to game 7, we're gonna go out and we're gonna watch the game somewhere. Nope. I was like,
No, not a chance.
I'm going downtown if they lose in the fucking NBA finals and choke a 3-0 lead.
Yeah,
3-1 lead rather.
That's the worst ride home. I mean, that ride home last night was terrible. So.
Oh yeah, that downtown sucked yesterday.
Got pretty depressing, especially when all the subways are jammed and you're trying to get home.
Yeah, no, I had to walk. Well, I got to stay downtown yesterday, and all the subways were jammed, so I walked. I mean, for a normal person, not a large human being like myself, this isn't so bad, but I walked from Scotiabank Arena to the Eaton Center, so it was probably a 20-ish minute walk.
Jake's done that walk before.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just it took twice as long because everyone was walking in this big mob through the street.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go at your own pace because you had to make sure you weren't running over people.
Well,
mm-hmm.
What I will say is, Raptors fans, whatever you decide to do for games 6 or indoor 7, because by the time I don't know if we're going to record after game 6, we'll see how I feel. We'll see how the situation plays out.
Yeah.
But Raptors fans, just look, the moment is we've talked how much this moment would mean for the city, for the team, for the country. Let's make it about that and less about you going overboard, whether it's a
stay classy, Toronto.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you said it. I didn't say it. You guys.
Yeah, you're all insensitive assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are all painted with the same brush. We are all terrible people now. Got it? Good.
Jake, any last thoughts before we head out?
No, hopefully they win.
Yeah. No.
I'm working that night too. That's what also annoyed me. So, I mean, look, it may help me that I'm working, so I'm a little distracted with something, but, I even though it'll make my work a lot busier if they win, just want to get it done. Let's get it done. So, with that being said, I want to thank you all for listening. Jake, I know you've been coming on a lot more, and I do appreciate it. I know we are recording this late, but hopefully you guys all stayed to the end, and we will catch you next time, and hopefully it will be a Raptors victory podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.